to see y'all this evening. Thanks for being here. I'd like to invite you to open your Bibles to actually turn to the Gospel of Mark to begin with. Then we're going to go over to the Old Testament prophet's writing of Jeremiah. But Mark chapter 7 is where we'll start off. And tonight we're kind of going to be doing a little study, really scanning through the book of Jeremiah, looking at several different places where the dictates of their evil hearts, that phrase is found. And sometimes these types of studies will come up when we're together, because really this study tonight came from my Bible reading. It's a Bible reading last year, reading through the Old Testament. My mic's on according to the green light. Last year, reading through the Old Testament last year, reading through the book of Jeremiah, I began to notice something that the dictates of the heart comes up over and over again in the book of Jeremiah. So we're going to take a look at that tonight and see what we can learn from it for ourselves and in our relationship for the Lord. But first of all, when we begin to talk about the heart, are we talking about that organ God made in our bodies that pumps blood through our bodies? Is that what we're talking about biblically? What does the Bible mean when it talks about the heart? When it talks about the heart and from the heart come certain things, what do y'all think that's talking about? Is it that organ? Now, what's God referring to? Ethan?
It's the inmost part of our soul. It's the core of our being, where our thoughts, our actions, our personality flows from.
All right. So it's our inmost being, where our thoughts, our personalities, kind of who we are, really comes from. Over in Mark chapter 7, we notice here that Jesus is speaking, and he says in verse 20 through 23, and he said, "What comes out of a man, that defiles a man. And from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile a man." So we, just like Ethan said, what is really in us, that is what our heart is. And Jesus said that these sins in Mark 7 that are listed there, that's what comes. That's where it comes from. It comes from the heart. So y'all turn over to Jeremiah. In the Old Testament, you have Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon. Then you go to Isaiah, and then the next book is Jeremiah. Go ahead and turn to Jeremiah chapter 3, where we're going to... Well, let's turn to chapter 17 to begin with. Then we're going to go back to chapter 3. In Jeremiah chapter 17, there's a verse here that you all may be very familiar with. I learned it several years ago. It was kind of one of those popular verses, I guess, among Reformed circles. But in Jeremiah chapter 17, we'll read verses 9 and 10. Here, Jeremiah writes, under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, writing what the Lord has said. And in verse 9, he writes there of Jeremiah 17, "The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked, who can know it?" And then in verse 10, "I, the Lord, search the heart, I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings." So here in chapter 17, there's that verse that probably we all have heard or have memorized, that the heart is deceitful above all things, which obviously goes against what is so prevalent in our society, where people are told to follow their hearts, right? And we've all talked about that. And, you know, men and women have gone and found other spouses and committed adultery. Why? Because they were following their heart. Because they felt like that's what would make them happy. And even some would chalk it up to saying that's what God wanted them to do, because that's what they felt in their heart. But Jesus said, and that's true, they did feel it in their heart, and it was adultery. That's exactly where it came from. And it was sin. It wasn't a good thing. And Jeremiah writes here and tells us that it's deceitful. You have to be careful about following your heart. Young people, children, you have to be careful about following your heart. Because the Bible says it will lead you astray. It will deceive you. The serpent deceived Adam and Eve in the garden. And we see here that the heart deceives as well. Now, go back to chapter 3. And the word heart is used 54 times in the book of Jeremiah. It's a word that is obviously found very often. Jeremiah was writing to or speaking to Judah, which was Judah the northern kingdom or the southern kingdom? Southern kingdom, that's right. And Jeremiah actually prophesied for about 50 years. His ministry was about 50 years long. We could look at chapter 1 and see the kings under whom Jeremiah prophesied. Now remember, when you're looking at a prophet, one of the prophets in the Old Testament, you can always find, most of the time you can find when he prophesied by looking at the first couple of verses at the beginning of each book. Verses 1 and 2 of each Old Testament prophet, they'll tell you who the kings were under whom they prophesied. So we learn from this that Jeremiah prophesied for about 50 years. Now what we need to remember is that while Jeremiah was in Judah prophesying, Ezekiel was in Babylon prophesying at the same time. And it was during Jeremiah's time of prophesying that, and Ezekiel's as well, that Daniel would have been carried off into captivity. So these three were contemporaries with one another. And it makes a lot more sense out of the Old Testament when you understand that. So the context here is Jeremiah prophesying to Judah, the southern kingdom, who I would remind you has been in existence for about 300 years, actually 295 years when Jeremiah began to prophesy. They were in existence for a total of 345 years before Babylon came and carried them away into captivity. Okay, y'all follow me? Judah, the southern kingdom, lasted 345 years. And Babylon was raised up by God to judge them. The northern kingdom, Judah, had already been carried away captive and scattered by Assyria at 290 years. Okay, y'all follow me on that? After Solomon, you had two different kingdoms, the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. The northern kingdom lasted 290 years, the southern kingdom 345. Now let's get to Jeremiah chapter 3. We find Jeremiah coming to these people who had, according to chapter 2, they had forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living waters, and they had hewn themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. And in chapter 3, verse 17, here we find Jeremiah speaking to them. And if you'll look at verse 14. This is a great reading right here. But in verse 14, he says, "Return, O backsliding children, says the Lord, for I am married to you. I will take you, one from a city and two from a family, and I will bring you to Zion. I will give you shepherds according to my heart, who will feed you with knowledge and understanding." Verse 16. "Then it shall come to pass, when you are multiplied and increased in the land in those days, says the Lord, that they will say no more, the ark of the covenant of the Lord. It shall not come to mind, nor shall they remember it, nor shall they visit it, nor shall it be made any more. At that time, Jerusalem shall be called the throne of the Lord, and all the nations shall be gathered to it, to the name of the Lord, to Jerusalem. No more shall they," look at it, "no more shall they follow the dictates of their evil hearts. In those days the house of Judah shall walk with the house of Israel, and they shall come together out of the land of the north to the land that I have given as an inheritance to our fathers." Now there's a lot of future prophecy there. It's probably fulfilled in part by Nehemiah's return, but it's going to ultimately be fulfilled in the New Jerusalem that comes down where the church is together. But we notice there, I don't have a handout tonight, so I'm just going to write these up on the board. If kids want to write these references down, you can. First one, Jeremiah 3:17. What do we learn there? That in the New Jerusalem, in the place where the throne of the Lord is, let us go this way to say, in the place where God rules, we are not led by the dictates of our evil hearts. The Lord can't be reigning and us be led by our evil hearts as well, the dictates of our hearts. That's the first point, Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 17. Let's go to the next one, Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 24. By the way, there are approximately 10 times in the Bible where, in the Old Testament, where this word dictates is used. 9 times it's used as a noun. The other time it is as an adjective, but it's translated dictates 9 times. 8 of those is in the book of Jeremiah. In chapter 7, verse 24, let's see what we find here. In chapter 7, we find at the beginning of the chapter that the Israelites, the Judah, they were trusting in lying words. You know, we've been talking about in Philippians how we can't have confidence in the flesh. They were, in Jeremiah, saying things like in verse 4, "The temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these." Because they had the temple, they trusted in the temple, and they never thought harm would come upon them. Why? Because they had the temple of the Lord. So surely the Lord will not judge them. But we see in this chapter, where in verse 16, the Lord actually says, do not even pray for this people, nor lift up a cry or prayer for them, nor make intercession to me, for I will not hear you. That's pretty bad when you get to a place where God says, just don't even pray for me anymore. It's over. But we come down to verse 24, and he says here, "Yet they did not obey or incline their ear, but followed the counsels and the dictates of their evil hearts, and went backward and not forward." Verse 25, "Since the day that your fathers came out of the land of Egypt until this day, I have even sent to you all my servants, the prophets, daily." Look at this imagery that's laid out here. "Daily, rising up early and sending them. Yet they did not obey me or incline their ear, but stiffened their neck. They did worse than their fathers." So in verse 9, we see very simply that when you follow the dictates of your heart, and for Judah, when they followed the dictates of their heart, did they go forward? No. They might have thought they were going forward, but instead of going forward, they were going backwards. Why? Because they were not following the Lord. So there's a good point of application there, isn't it? When we follow our hearts, no matter how right it may feel, we are not going forward. We are going backwards. But if the desires of our heart seek to please the Lord and to please Him, then it's a good thing. But if it's the dictates, where dictates means it's telling us, teaching us, it even means twisted, stiff. If that's what the condition of our heart, and our heart is in that shape and telling us what to do, then we're not going the right way. We're not going forward or going backwards. Let's go to the next one. Chapter 9, verse 14. In this particular verse, I want us to see that our hearts can be influenced by our fathers. I don't know why I keep writing the word Jeremiah. Chapter 9, verse 14. Here, we'll start at verse 12. "Who is the wise man who may understand this? And who is he to whom the mouth of the Lord has spoken, that he may declare it? And does the land perish and burn up like a wilderness, so that no one can pass through? Verse 13. And the Lord said, because they have forsaken my law, which I set before them, and have not obeyed my voice, nor walked according to it, but they have walked according to the dictates of their own hearts, and after the Baals, which their fathers taught them. Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will feed them, this people, with wormwood, and give them water of gall to drink. I will scatter them also among the Gentiles, whom neither they nor their fathers have known. And I will send a sword after them until I have consumed them. You see, we would point out here that the hearts of the children can be impacted by the father's obedience to the Lord. And in this particular passage, we see that though they were impacted and taught by the fathers to follow the Baals, yet it was their own dictates, their own evil hearts, and they were responsible for it. You know, we looked at last week a passage, I think it was in Proverbs chapter 27, verse 26. But that passage says, my son, give me your heart and let your eyes observe my ways. Again, that's a reminder for us dads, for men, that our example, man, it carries a lot of weight for our children. Who we are, what we do, what we say makes a huge difference. And that goes back to Philippians. You know, Paul said, follow my example. We should need to be striving to set an example. All right, so in chapter 9, verse 14, our hearts can be impacted by those that we look up to, our fathers, can be influenced by them. Let's look at chapter 11, verse 18. Chapter 11, verse 18. In chapter 11, you might have a subheading or a heading at the beginning of the chapter. Does anybody have a heading at the beginning of the chapter? If so, what does it say? The broken covenant. That's right. That's what mine says as well. The cool thing that you need to remember about the prophets when you're reading through the prophets is that the prophets, in particular, we really see this emphasized with Jeremiah. But Jeremiah is preaching the covenant. Well, you say, what covenant? Well, the book of Deuteronomy. He's preaching to the people. He's reinforcing. He's showing the people that they are breaking the covenant that they have made with God, and that God's going to do exactly what God said He would do if you break that covenant. That God's patience and long-suffering is wearing out, and He's going to make good on His promises. So that's what chapter 11 really is much about. Let's pick up at verse 11 of chapter 11 and read through this. Therefore, thus says the Lord, behold, I will surely bring calamity on them, which they will not be able to escape. And though they cry out to me, I will not listen to them. Then the cities of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem will go and cry out to the gods to whom they offer incense, and they will not save them at all in the time of their trouble. Verse 13, for according to the number of their cities, were your gods, O Judah, and according to the number of the streets of Jerusalem, you have set up altars to that shameful thing, altars to burn incense to Baal. Verse 13 is one of those verses you might want to underline or highlight or put a little asterisk by or mark in some way in your Old Testament, because it tells us there how great the idolatry was in Jerusalem. And we've read through that. And then verse 14, so do not pray for this people or lift up a cry or prayer for them, for I will not hear them in the time that they cry out to me because of their trouble. Now jump back up to verse 6. And in verse 6 it says, Then the Lord said to me, Proclaim all these words in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem, saying, Hear the words of this covenant and do them. For I earnestly exhorted your fathers in the day I brought them up out of the land of Egypt until this day, rising early and exhorting them, saying, Obey my voice. Yet in verse 8, they did not obey or incline their ear, but everyone followed what? The dictates of his evil heart. Therefore, I will bring upon them all the words of this covenant, which I commanded them to do, but which they have not done. See, now, if I were to ask you, where do we go to in the Old Testament, in the book of Deuteronomy? What key chapters in the book of Deuteronomy tell us what God is going to do if they do not obey the covenant? Does anybody know right off the top of your head? What key chapters? It's Deuteronomy chapter 28. Is God lays it out, man. He lays it out. He tells them, if you obey, I'm going to bless you. If you do not obey, I'm going to curse you. And he tells them down to the detail of what's going to happen. And you know what happened? Exactly what God said would happen. You can see that in the book of Lamentations. You can see this throughout this book. So we see in chapter 11 that following the dictates of your evil heart invokes the curse of the covenant. So the fourth passage is 11 verse 8. And to follow the dictates of your heart invokes the curse of the covenant. And it hasn't changed. Because today, if a person follows their heart, if they live in sin, doing their thing their way, you remember what it said this morning? What's the end going to be? Destruction. And right now, you know, you may not feel it at all. Life's great, family's great, enjoying everything, but you're not obeying the Lord, you're not following Him, you know you're doing what your heart wants you to do, and your heart's not lining up with God's desires. God will judge you one day. And you can look at this Old Testament example to know that that's true. Let's go to chapter 13, verse 10. Chapter 13, verse 10. So what did the prophets preach? They preached the what? Covenant. That's right. Let's try it one more time. What did the prophets preach? The covenant. Where's the covenant found? In the book of?
Deuteronomy.
Where's the covenant found?
Deuteronomy.
That's right. We need to know that. It's important. All right. Chapter 13, verse 11. Here, an interesting thing happens because Jeremiah is told to take a sash. And you see it there in verse 1. Go and get your linen sash and put it around your waist and do not put it in water. In verse 2 of chapter 13, So I got my sash according to the word of the Lord and put it around my waist. And the word of the Lord came to me a second time saying, Take the sash that you acquired, which is around your waist, and arise, go to the Euphrates and hide it there in a hole in the rock. So I went, verse 5, and hid it by the Euphrates, as the Lord commanded me. Now it came to pass after many days that the Lord said to me, Arise, go to the Euphrates, and take from there the sash which I commanded you to hide there. Verse 7, Then I went to the Euphrates and dug, and I took the sash from the place where I had hidden it. And there was the sash, ruined. It was profitable for nothing. So imagine taking a shirt and going out by the creek or river somewhere and burying it in the ground, then leaving it there for a while, and then coming back and getting it. You'd pull that thing out and you'd say, It's ruined. You wouldn't, even an engineer wouldn't put that on to wear it to work. But that's what Jeremiah's doing with this sash. In verse 11 it says, Then the word of the Lord came to me saying, Thus says the Lord, In this manner I will ruin the pride of Judah and the great pride of Jerusalem. This evil people who refuse to hear my words, who follow the what? The dictates of their hearts and walk after other gods to serve them and worship them shall be just like this sash, which is profitable for nothing. For as the sash clings to the waist of a man, so I have caused the whole house of Israel and the whole house of Judah to cling to me, says the Lord, that they may become my people for renown, for praise, and for glory. But notice the last part. But they would not hear. You see, God had raised them up to be a famous people, but they wouldn't hear. But what did they follow? The dictates of their own hearts. So what were the dictates of your heart? Where would that get you? It would get you to being ruined. It will not profit you. It equals, or it results in ruin. Just like this sash. Chapter 16, verse 12 is our next passage. Chapter 16, verse 12. We've got about three more. In chapter 16, we see Jeremiah's lifestyle and message is what the title of the chapter is. But we pick up in verse 10. And it says here in chapter 10, in chapter 16, verse 10, "And it shall be, when you show this people all these words, and they say to you, 'Why has the Lord pronounced all this great disaster against us? Or what is our iniquity? Or what is our sin that we have committed against the Lord our God?'" Verse 11, "Then you shall say to them, 'Because your fathers have forsaken me, says the Lord, they have walked after other gods and have served them and worshipped them and have forsaken me and not kept my law, and you have done worse than your fathers. For behold, each one follows the dictates of his own evil heart, so that no one listens to me. Therefore, I will cast you out of this land into a land that you do not know, neither you nor your fathers. And there you shall serve other gods day and night, where I will not show you favor." In chapter 16, we see that following the dictates of your heart calls you to not listen to God. Because that's what it says in this passage, that no one listens to me. Again, as I said earlier today, if you're following this evening, if you're following the dictates of your heart, then you're not following the Word of God. We can't do both. We must and we will be governed by one or the other. You know, I think about my own life. I feel like there's something that a sin that I struggle with, and is anger. And it is displayed most toward my children. And, you know, I confess that to the Lord, and I seek to repent of that, and I seek to put on Christ in those areas, but I have the sin of anger, and it is manifested mainly toward my children. But, you know, sometimes I feel in my heart that I deserve to be angry. But that is an evil heart that's being led by the dictates of my heart and not governed by the Word of God. You know, and any of us, your sin's this or that. But for something, our heart starts telling us it's okay. Look at that on the computer. It's fine. Yeah, cheat in that way. It's okay. Look at that person in a lustful way. It's okay. And when we do that, we're not following the Word of God. We're not being governed by it. Let's go to the next one. It's chapter 18, verse 12. You see, it's when we start following the dictates of our hearts that we're no longer following God's Word. Chapter 18, verse 12. And I confess that to y'all this evening. I ask you to really pray for me about that, because that's something I want to truly repent of and put off, and not not deal with, but I know it's something that I'll have to continually be aware of and fight against. Chapter 18, verse 12, we come here and it says in verse 12, and they said, that is hopeless. So we will walk according to our own plans, and we will everyone obey the dictates of his evil heart. Now go back to verse 1. We see in this chapter that this is where the potter and the clay illustration comes into play. And in verse 1 it says, the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause you to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was, making something at the wheel. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter, so he made it again into another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make. So there he is in the potter's house, and the wheel is spinning with the clay on there, and he's making it, shaping it with his hands. And the one vessel was marred in the hand of the potter. So what did he do? He took another lump and again made the vessel, and it seemed good to the potter. In verse 5, then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter, says the Lord? Look, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. The instant I speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom, to pluck up, to pull down, and to destroy it. By the way, that is a common phrase in Jeremiah, to pluck up, to pull down, and to destroy it. It's all the way back in chapter 1. In verse 8, if that nation against whom I have spoken turns from its evil, I will relent of the disaster that I thought to bring upon it. And the instant I speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to build and to plant, verse 10, if it does evil in my sight so that it does not obey my voice, then I will relent concerning the good with which I said I would benefit it. Now, in verse 11, now therefore speak to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, thus says the Lord, behold, I am fashioning a disaster, and devising a plan against you. Return now, every one from his evil way, and make your ways and your doings good. Okay, that's all clear, right? Verse 12, and they said, that is hopeless. So we will walk according to our own plans, and we will every one obey the dictates of his evil heart. In chapter 18, verse 12, what are they saying there? They're saying their heart knows best. And there's times when we will say the same thing. We'll go on in our sin. We'll do what our evil heart is telling us to do that is contrary to the Word of God. And in essence, we're saying, Lord, your way is hopeless. I'm going to do it my way. That's what Israel did. Last one is chapter 23, verse 17. Chapter 23, verse 17. This is that chapter where we find, you can see it in verse 6, the Lord our righteousness, the promise of the Lord Jesus Christ who would come. And here, beginning at verse 16, the Bible says, thus says the Lord of hosts, do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you. They make you worthless. They speak a vision of their own heart, not from the mouth of the Lord. They continually say to those who despise me, the Lord has said, you shall have peace. And to everyone who walks according to the dictates of his own heart, they say, no evil shall come upon you. You see, in chapter 23, in these verses, we see that we are not truly safe when we follow the dictates of our heart, but when we are following the dictates of our evil heart, we feel we're safe. We tell ourselves we're safe. We tell ourselves no one will find out. We tell ourselves, well, it's okay. like I said earlier, I deserve to act this way. Or I deserve to look at this. Or I deserve to cheat in this way. No one will ever know. And that's the lie that the prophets were telling them there, that no evil shall come upon you. Now, I want to ask you to turn somewhere that's pretty interesting. Turn back to Deuteronomy chapter 29. Deuteronomy 29, verse 19. You might want to hold your place there, one finger in Jeremiah chapter 23, and then Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 19. This is where the covenant is renewed, but in chapter 19, we'll pick up it. We'll just read. Let's start at verse 14. Deuteronomy 29, verse 14. Deuteronomy 29, verse 14. I make this covenant and this oath, not with you alone, but with him who stands here with us today before the Lord our God, as well as with him who is not here with us today. For you know that we dwelt in the land of Egypt, and that we came through the nations which you passed by. And you saw their abominations and their idols which were among them, wood and stone, silver and gold. So they've seen all this in the nations that they passed by, as it said. Verse 18. So that there may not be among you man or woman or family or tribe whose heart turns away today from the Lord our God, to go and serve the gods of these nations, and that there may not be among you a root bearing bitterness or wormwood. Now look at verse 19. And so it may not happen, when he hears the words of this curse, that he blesses himself in his heart, saying, I shall have peace, even though I follow, what? The dictates of my heart, as though the drunkard could be included with the sober. Verse 20, the Lord would not spare him, for then the anger of the Lord and his jealousy would burn against that man, and every curse that is written in this book would settle on him, and the Lord would blot out his name from under heaven. Now, you notice there in verse 19, I shall have peace, even though I follow the dictates of my heart. Chapter 23, verse 17, they continually say to those who despise me, the Lord has said, you shall have what? Peace. And to everyone who walks according to the dictates of his own heart, they say, no evil shall come upon you. See, you can go all the way back to Deuteronomy and see that God told them in advance. He warned them that this will happen. And then it happened. And what do we do? Let's turn back to Jeremiah 17 where we started. So, you know, our hearts are deceitful. Your heart and my heart is deceitful. And if we think it's not, then it's got us. We were just deceived. If you're sitting there thinking, well, my heart's not deceitful at all, then it's got you. You've already been caught. So what do we do to keep our hearts from being deceived? What do we do from going down that road and falling under in sin and being, if you're a Christian, being chastised by the Lord? If you're not a Christian, how do you escape eternal punishment from God? Let's look at chapter 17, verse 5. We see here that he says, thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in who? In man. And makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. For he shall be like a shrub in the desert, and shall not see when good comes, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land which is not inhabited. So cursing comes upon he who trusts in man. Verse 7. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, and whose hope is in who is the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots in the river, by the river rather, and will not fear when heat comes, but its leaf will be green, and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. What is the cure for the deceitful heart? The cure for the deceitful heart is to trust in the Lord. That's it. Now, what does that look like? You've got to be in this book if you're going to trust in the Lord. You've got to know this book. You've got to be on your knees praying if you're going to be trusting in the Lord. Not on your knees, however you pray, you've got to be praying. How do we trust in the Lord? By being around God's people. You see, all these things can show and reflect in our lives that our trust is in the Lord. And we fight for those things, and we're passionate about those things, and we're determined about those things. Why? Because we know that our hearts are deceitful, and if we don't stick with it, if we don't fight the good fight, if we're not like a good soldier of Jesus Christ who does not entangle himself in the affairs of this life, then we will quickly go down the wrong path. I will. I don't know about you. But see, Jesus Christ has enabled us through the gospel to be able to be filled with His Spirit and be able to have such a relationship with God, have the Spirit of God living within us, that we can walk with Him and know Him on a daily basis. The Spirit of God actually indwells us so that we can understand this book which we read. And I want you to know tonight that Romans chapter 15, verse 4 tells us that the things that were written beforehand, they were written for our learning. That we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. So we look at Jeremiah and we look at the dictates of their evil hearts and we say, we don't want to go down that path. We're going to learn from that. And we're going to pursue Jesus Christ more and more and more because He is our life and we need Him. We want to, as Paul said, magnify Christ in our lives, whether by life or by death. We don't follow our hearts unless our hearts align with the Word of God. Amen? Well, I hope that was an informative study, but a good reminder to us, because it's very likely that there's several of us in this room that in some area of our lives, we're really just doing our hearts, doing what our heart wants us to do. And it's not obedience to the Lord. We need to repent of that. And we need to say, Lord, I'm going to trust You in this area of my life. And Lord, when I fail, I'm going to confess it and I'm going to trust You again. And I'm going to keep coming to You because I'm desperate for You and to have my life changed by You. Because I don't want to follow my heart. I want my heart to align with Your Word. Jesus died so that that's possible for us. And let's not ever forget that. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your Word from Jeremiah. Lord, so sweet. It's like honey, Lord, in the honeycomb. It's wonderful, Lord, to us. And I just thank You for it. And I pray, Lord, tonight that, God, You would help us as a church, as a whole, to not follow the dictates of our heart, because this thing isn't about us, but it's about Your Son and about You getting the glory that You deserve. That's it. And Lord, we get to get in on it. We thank You for that. Lord, I pray that we as a church will not follow the dictates of our hearts. But I pray, Lord, also that as individuals, Lord, that we would make sure that our hearts where they are differing from your word, and where we are being governed by our hearts rather than by your word, God, I pray that you would give us grace that we might truly repent of those things. Lord, we confess to you tonight our sin. And I just want to give you all opportunity to confess your sin to the Lord right now. Whatever area it is in your life where you're not being obedient and you know you're doing what your heart wants you to do, confess that. Ask the Lord to forgive you of that. And to enable you to put on Christ in that area of your life. If you're not a Christian tonight, the Bible says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." If you know that your heart is, you know the wickedness of your heart and that you're deceived by it and that you've not believed the gospel, confess the Lord Jesus. Believe in Him tonight and be saved from your sins. He died to save sinners. Lord, I just pray tonight that our hearts will be right with you because the power of this church, Lord, will, Lord, be very much a reflection of the purity of it. Lord, I pray that we will just be a pure people. I pray I'll be a pure leader and that David will be and the deacons will be and that our hearts, Lord, will truly Father, be aligned with your purposes and with your will. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're not ever going to get it right. You know, we're not ever going to arrive. That's why our hope is not in us. Our hope is in Jesus. His heart was always right. And that's why when we fail, we confess, we come back to Him. When we sin, and we come to Jesus and we ask for forgiveness and He cleanses us from all unrighteousness. It's never in our obedience. It's always the obedience of Christ. But because of Him, we strive to be the people of God that He's called us to be. Andrew, will you come and lead us?